I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here, senior contributors Christopher Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, Alex Province, another senior contributor who lives in Hartford. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Lori Mack is here, our senior producer, Jonathan McNichol. And you can tell your friends, no matter where they live, they can listen to the Food Schmooze from anywhere in the world, as many people do, at WNPR.org. Also, you can listen on Facebook. We post the link there, Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. If you just type in Faith Middleton on Facebook, it'll take you right to it. And let me encourage you as we get to we're going to give you probably the single best tip for Thanksgiving that I have heard in years. Is this
agreed?
You agree, Chris?
Totally.
All right. So
life-changing.
Life-changing.
It was for me. It really was life-changing.
Make the turkey ahead. This is how you can do it and have it be really fabulous. Really, this trick is so amazing, and it's an Ina Garten trick. We're going to tell you about this in just a second. Let me say a word about Facebook, because a lot of what we are talking about on the show, we are posting there. So if you like us on Facebook, it automatically comes to you. And so you don't have to go searching or anything like that. We let you know. I mean, we just did these lemon ricotta pancakes that took off. We did that special Jacques Pepin thing. And
good wine.
We've
tips.
Got a great wine for Thanksgiving at a price point that is so fantastic. That's going to be up there. This trick about the turkey is going to be there. You can listen to the show. Just remember, type in Faith Middleton. It's Faith Middleton Food Schmooze on Facebook. But if you type in Faith Middleton, as Chris just did while we're sitting here, boom, it comes up. So be sure to like us, because that means we can get it to you really, really fast. I know that's all I wanted to say. Okay, here we go. Let's tell them about this trick. Tip, let's tell them about this trick. Chris, start us off. We're going to say to you, make the turkey any way you want,
any
the way,
way
you
want.
Love to.
Yeah, whatever your favorite way of, don't change that. Because if you have a way you make turkey every year, go for it. Just do it that way. What we're saying, and what Ina, the genius tip for me, is you can do your turkey earlier. And I mean, she'll even say the day before.
Let me just jump in and say,
okay,
this is in Ina's book, Make It Ahead. This came out last year. I remember I went to interviewed her on stage, sold out at Symphony Hall in Boston. 3,000 people. We were
amazing
doing an interview.
Yeah,
it was so incredible. The electricity in the room. That's when this book came out. It is a winner still. I use this book so much, it's crazy.
We do too. We love her.
This Make It Ahead tells you how to make all these great things. There's a whole section on Thanksgiving. So be sure and look at, if you want, how she makes her turkey ahead, you know, days ahead and all that. But just to simplify it, we're going to pick up her tip at the end of the recipe. So Chris is telling you, make the turkey the way you want.
Do it the day before if you want. But my whole thing is, you can do this earlier in the day. So it takes, you know how that's the one pressure point in Thanksgiving that really gets people? Like, I've been to Thanksgiving dinners where the dinner's actually been held. In other words, we were supposed to eat
every
one,
year,
like
then,
at our house.
And it's like 5:30 and they're still temping the bird. And it's like, it's almost ready, people.
I'm starving.
And you're like, yeah, you've already eaten all the sides. So anyway, it's a pressure point. You know, do you get, how long does it take? Do you have other things going in and out of you? So you could actually get your turkey in and out of the oven before your guests even arrive.
Wow.
And if it's about, and again, this her tip.
Well, wait a minute. How do you do that? I mean, when we have a crowd, we're talking about an 18, 20, 22-pound turkey. We're already getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
So this is what I'm saying. Cook it then. It takes, so an 18-pound bird will take about 3 to 3.5, maybe on the higher side, 18, 19 pounds, 4 hours to cook. So what she's saying and what I'm saying is, cook it then. Get it out of the way.
Get it done.
Now, you might say, but then this wrinkly old turkey is going to be sitting there. And here comes Ina Garten's genius tip. And we have done this, and it's unbelievable.
All right. So you do your bird ahead of time. You let it rest, which is a huge part, too, in making a great bird. And you can let it rest for, at this point, you can let it rest for 2-3 hours before you slice it. And all the juices come back. It's settled. It's actually the most juicy turkey you'll ever have. Then all you have to do is make your gravy, and then what you do is you take a oven-proof platter. So you get a platter that you can put in the oven, and then you take your gravy, you pour it into the platter, right? Mm-hmm. So it's hot gravy being poured into this platter about a quarter inch or a half inch deep, and then you carve your turkey. You take your time. You carve your turkey nice. You arrange it beautifully on this platter.
Artfully, as
artfully,
she said.
Yeah, artfully. And you really can get it all sliced pretty. And then all you do is take that right before you're going to the table. It takes 10 or 15 minutes in a 325 degree oven just to warm through. And then you bring it to the table with extra gravy on the side.
So it is rewarming your it's rewarming the gravy, which is already hot.
Yeah.
It is rewarming the turkey. Which is absorbing the juices from the gravy.
Yeah.
It comes to the table in the perfect temperature. I don't know about you, but when we do the turkey, it's by the time it's on our plates, it's room temperature.
Anyway, right?
So,
yeah.
This is
genius.
A
Give
genius
her credit, right?
Tip.
She is a genius when it comes to this stuff.
So okay. Hot pads underneath?
Hot pads underneath. You would do that anyway. Yeah. Hot pads underneath, right? We'll talk about table setting later, right? Because that you need to have all that stuff at the ready, right? Whether you're doing stuff coming straight out of the oven.
Know where it's going.
Honestly, this is such a trip. So you want to get up. You can get up early. You can make your turkey ahead.
Yep.
If you want, you can use Ina's Make Ahead recipe from her book, Make It Ahead. Or you just make the turkey the way you make it, but make it in the morning so that it's done before company arrives, and then you use this secret trick with the gravy and the warmed up platter.
Yeah, and I just want to say, a lot of people said to me, oh, well, the presentation. But the cool thing about this is people come in, you have the presentation because your turkey's sitting on the counter.
It's so beautiful.
And it looks gorgeous because it just came out of the oven. People are mulling around, you know, getting up. And you're like, wow, look at
just
and
take
you,
a picture
take
of
pictures
it.
Of it. Yeah, put it on the big screen.
You'll find it on Facebook already.
You don't have to. Yes, have iPads. At
iPads
see.
At every. See, we can go high tech here, right? I like that idea.
Okay, so you don't even have to do this, obviously, as people are walking in the door because you might have some hors d'oeuvres going or whatever, you know. But you can do this after your hors d'oeuvres are done and people have had a chance to have, you know, a glass of hot cider or a cocktail, whatever you're serving, glass of wine. And then you just judge and you say, okay, it's time. I'm putting that turkey in on the warm platter. And then out it comes on the table. It is so beautiful with the gravy drizzled all around thing and the pieces of the skin.
Year.
Really,
I
it's
the
beautiful.
Bottom pieces are the best.
Oh, my gosh. Because
swimming in the gravy.
Oh, and they soak up a little of the gravy.
I want those pieces.
God. All right. Yeah. Not only is this show on Faith Middleton Food Schmooze on Facebook and at our website, but all the tips that we are giving you are posted on Facebook. So you can hear them all, especially how to do this turkey thing. This is the best tip of Thanksgiving. I'm telling you right now. We've got some good recipes
Changed
to talk
my
with
life.
You about. We're going to tell you about these ginger snap, coconut, almond, crunchy lime bars. If you're just tired of doing pie and you want to try something new, we've got a fabulous wine to tell you about at a terrific price point. So all set on that. It goes with absolutely anything I can think of that you're serving for Thanksgiving. Thanks. This is a find from Alex Province. Here's our Brussels sprout thing.
Oh, love Brussels sprouts.
This one was last year too, and this one was life-changing for me because I'd never had that combination.
Well, this is Marion Roy. She is a volunteer for us here on the show, a volunteer associate producer, and she helps us on the food show, and she's the best person, a social worker by training, really lots of fun. And she came in with this recipe and said, I really love this one. And we said, okay, we'll try it, you know. And we all loved it. Yep. I not only made it for Thanksgiving, I made it multiple times.
We used it as a side dish at the restaurant. It was so good.
Honestly.
Yeah, because it's, again, tell them what the combination is because you would not think
this.
Yeah,
remind me.
Roasted Brussels sprouts and pears and shallots.
Really?
Essentially, this gets chopped up, thrown in the oven with olive oil, and out comes magic.
Wow.
It crisps up. It's so delicious.
Was there bacon?
400 degree oven. So here's what I did. The second time I made it, I threw in some diced up prosciutto.
There you go.
And wow, was that fun. So you can fool around with this if you want. You could put nuts in here. You know, really great.
And I don't think we gave her enough credit because in my mind, a great recipe is when you see it on in print or online, like on the website, and you see it's got like, you know, three lines of ingredients, and then it only has like two or three steps in the instructions. Mm-hmm. And when it comes out, you're like, wow, that's a great recipe.
So you're cutting the Brussels sprouts in half, slicing the pears, mincing the garlics, chopping the shallots, some olive oil and salt. If you want to throw in some chopped up prosciutto, you can. Pancetta, whatever you want. Yeah. You want to throw in some nuts, you can. This goes into the oven. The whole thing is on our site.
30 minutes.
And it's in there for half an hour, and it comes out. You're waiting until the shallots become brown and crispy, and then you know then everything else is ready to go. Out comes that pan, and we serve this either warm from the oven. It's fantastic at room temperature. So you know how Thanksgiving can be a stress? Everything's got to be hot. It's different timing. We only have one oven, at least I do.
We tossed it in a salad. We took some romaine lettuce and some balsamic vinaigrette and took that the next day and just tossed it in a salad.
Oh, that sounds good.
I would never, and this is why I love when people like Marianne write in or give us recipes, because I would never go pear and Brussels sprout.
Are you using like a Bosch pear?
It doesn't even matter. I don't even think you have to get that complicated. It's just chop up some
pears. Oh, I like complicated.
Yeah, I know you do. But really, just chop – the recipe is just genius.
The recipe says pears.
Yeah. Chop up pear, chop up Brussels sprout, toss, bake.
All right. So in the next minute, let me tell you, we're going to tell you about those key lime bars that are just terrific. We're going to talk about Ina Garten's twice-baked sweet potatoes. This is new to our kit. It's from her Make Ahead book. Again, we're going to tell you about this fantastic red wine from France, and there is a lot of it. We made sure that they're really stocked up on this in our broadcast region, and they are. We'll tell you how to get it. And we're talking here about $15, $16 a bottle. This is a steal at this price. This is drinking, to me, like $30 bottle of wine. This is in the most gorgeous labels. You would feel so snazzy coming in the door if you're bringing wine to somebody's house. I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you'll make a charitable contribution to feed the hungry. More mouthwatering conversation and fun here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready tomorrow night. That's what Beans said to Cornbread.
I'm Faith Middleton. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon, although we're going to have a new weekday. We'll tell you about that soon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook right now. Simply search Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, and we are having the best time with you on Facebook. We're talking with you, writing back and forth, and we have some amazing stuff posted there for Thanksgiving. We're linking you right there to our Thanksgiving kit, and we've got a recipe coming up now. Thanks to our talented crew, senior contributors Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, senior contributor Alex Province of Hartford, Eugene Amatruda, Marion Roy, senior producer Lori Mack, and producer Jonathan McNichol. And thank you for listening. I get tired of pie, frankly, and I sometimes want to try something else.
Agreed.
Yes, Chris, you too. I know. I mean, I love pie, but
Who doesn't?
I just get a little tired of it sometimes. And I think, what could we do for Thanksgiving as a thing? So we're doing this, and these are delicious. We're going to talk to Carla Snyder, who is author of this book, Sweet and Tart, 70 Irresistible Recipes with Citrus. We're going to talk now about making key lime bars with a tropical nut crust, an almond and ginger snap crust with a little bit of sweetened shredded coconut. And we think that limey flavor after the rich meal, Chris, is just a great thing. These are very limey and terrific. I love key lime pie, so I'm all about these bars.
And as bar, you can just pick them up and eat them.
Yep, I know. Okay, so Carla, welcome to the Food Schmooze Party.
Thanks for having me.
So I understand you had a workout with these key lime bars.
I did. I actually made these bars for my husband's 60th birthday last summer for 60 people. So I made a whole lot of them, and they were just so delicious.
I know. I can't even believe that you did that. All right, let's whip through this. So the crust, we'll get to the topping in a minute, that limey topping. But the crust is made from ginger snap cookies, almonds, granulated sugar, kosher salt, unsalted butter, and sweetened shredded coconut. And tell me how it comes together.
It comes together really easy. I mean, I guess the hardest thing is measuring out 3 cups of the ginger snap cookies. I kind of started off with a count saying, well, ginger snap cookies are usually about the same size, but then I saw some big ones and then smaller ones, and I thought, okay, well, we'll just try and figure this out. So you just basically measure out about 3 cups of those little ginger snap cookies and throw them in the food processor and whiz them up until they're pretty fine. And then you have to dump them out, and then you grind up your almonds and your sugar, and then add the butter and coconut, and then put the cookies back in. And it just ends up kind of like a graham cracker crust, the same type of texture.
Yes, it does. And you just kind of have to press it down, and there you go. And also, you put a little piece of aluminum foil, and it helps you lift that out later on.
I'm kind of, after being a caterer and working so many years in bakeries and things, you just don't want to have any bad surprises at the end of when you take it out of the oven and you try to get it out of the pan.
So let me.
I don't like those.
Yes, let me describe this to you. These bars, if I have about a half-inch base on them of what we just described, Chris, these ginger snaps, these ground almonds, the sweetened shredded coconut, that's why it's called a tropical nut crust. And you're combining that with what we're going to describe now, this topping that is super limey. So sugar, again, a little bit of all-purpose flour, unsalted butter, some egg, the zest of 2 limes, and a cup of key lime juice. You can get that now just
anywhere.
About everywhere. Yeah. So a little kosher salt. I love that you've got the salt touch in there. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and you just essentially just mix this up. I mean, it's super, super simple to do that. You just whisk the sugar and the flour together and then add, the butter and the eggs and the key lime juice, and don't ever, ever try to get the juice out of the key lime. That is the most frustrating thing in the world. Always just buy the bottle.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth?
I tried once and only once.
You get like a teaspoon out of a whole bag of key lime. So, don't do that. Buy the bottle. It's so, so simple. And then you just pour it over the partially baked crust, and you bake it for about 40 minutes. And the flour in there really gives them a nice firmness that I like for picking up and eating with your fingers. I don't like the filling to be a little on the goopy side. I like it, so that it cuts nicely and is easy to eat with your fingers.
A question for you. Is it possible, we have many gluten-free eaters, is it possible you're using about a quarter cup of unbleached all-purpose flour? Is it possible to put a gluten-free flour in there and have that work, do you think?
Absolutely.
Ah.
Yeah, it would totally work. You could probably even just use rice flour.
Sure.
And you can use, there are now lots of gluten-free ginger snaps, so that's going to work for your crust.
Sure. Right, absolutely.
So this can be gluten-free. Oh, that is so great. Thank you so much, Carla. I love this as an idea, an alternative to pie on Thanksgiving.
A new addition to the Thanksgiving table.
Yeah, I like the limey with the turkey and all that rich stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Not that these aren't rich, but thank you, Carla Snyder.
You're welcome, Faye. Thanks for having me.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Her book, Sweet and Tart. Again, that recipe is posted on our website, Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. Oh, that is a good sound. Thank you very much. That is a good sound here on the Food Schmooze. The wine is going into our glass. You know what that means. It's time for us to give you a fabulous, fabulous thumbs up, every positive thing, 5 stars.
Yum, yum.
Alex Province is the broker of this wine. He goes around. His job is to find great wine. And so he found this one, called it to our attention. We tried it, and we went crazy over this. And Alex, I know French wines have become a specialty for you. I know you know Spanish wines like crazy. This has such a beautiful label. This is around $15, $16 a bottle. A beautiful label. And I want to tell you right now, before we tell you about this Malbec from France, it is so rich, so good. Goes with anything I can think of on your Thanksgiving table. That's what's so universal about this. Let me just tell you, we took a picture of this label and we put it on our Facebook page. If you go to Facebook right now and like us, Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, F-A-I-T-H Middleton Food Schmooze. If you like us on Facebook, a picture of this label will show up, and you can just take the phone, as Chris does. Take
I'd
it
like
to your wine
one.
Store.
Can't
this
drink
one.
The picture.
No, but it's hard. Sometimes with pronunciation and how do you spell it, and with the phone with you, and you can just click on it, and you show your wine guy at the store.
Hey,
you
it's
want,
this.
Yeah, it's this one, and they write it down, and boom, you get it. It's just so much easier.
And that information is on Facebook, you know, what the distributor is. If you want to call ahead and spell it to make sure it's on the shelf, that way you don't have to make an unnecessary trip. They'll have it to you within 24 hours. But if you like us right now on Facebook, Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, you'll see the picture. You can just open it up, read it into the phone, and you are good to go. All right, let's talk about this. This is a 2011 Esprit de Flore.
Yeah, so Spirit of the Flower.
And there is a gorgeous Picasso-like picture of a woman on here, and it is so beautiful. She is beautiful. And this is such a lovely label and bottle to walk in the door with. And $15, $16, what a price for this deep, dark, rich, fabulous wine. It's an elegance to this.
You know, French wines go so well with food. You don't really appreciate them until you just eat, and you all of a sudden it becomes a condiment to the food. You're eating, you take a sip of wine, and now all of a sudden in your mouth,
this
it's delicious.
So
agreed.
Let's tell you, if we can, I'd love to try to describe a wine, so this is always a challenge. But one of the things that first happens is you take it and you can taste a little bit of the fruit of the wine in there, and then you get that thing where it makes a little slight edge of pucker. That's the tannin in the wine.
You can feel the tannins.
You can feel it on your tongue, and that means that it's a signal that it's going to be fantastic with the turkey and the gravy or the
and
vegetables.
The protein.
Yeah, and
a
little bit of acidity, it sort of washes
crisp
it all away.
And clean.
When you're eating a big forkful like I do of mashed potatoes and
with
gravy
and butter,
and you just that, and it just sort of coats your mouth, and you're like in heaven. You just take a sip of this wine, and you can do it again.
The acidity just cleans out the fat
and
just
get ready for
lets
the
you
next
start
one.
Over.
Let's face
over
it, there's
over
butter
over
in our Thanksgiving.
It's like making a pan reduction in your mouth.
Yeah. Oh, that is brilliant.
Yeah. It's like cooking in your mouth, I always say.
That is just brilliant. So there's another trick that I remember Clive Coates, the great wine guy. I used to go to wine dinners with him, and he was an old pal, and he used to say to me, if you get an echo right after you've swallowed, in other words, you've swallowed the wine and then you have this little still echoing the flavor as it is sliding down your throat.
Mm.
Yes, that reverb of the wine is the signal of a great quality no matter what you have paid for it. And that's what I get with this wine. I swallow, it slides down your throat, it's like velvet, and then boom, I get that little wah again in the throat.
Mm.
I just got yummy.
Yum.
That's all I got. It's yummy.
I know. I like that.
And
like
the acidity makes you want more. So all of a sudden you look down and it's like, oh, glass is empty. I need a little more.
You can pour some more.
And some more mashed potatoes. Yeah.
So, you know, you can, you know, they give you a discount for a case. But listen,
it's a great price point because at Thanksgiving, you're going to need one more than one bottle, right? Because
15,
you need a couple, right?
$15,
yes. Yeah, it's a great price point for the holidays.
Spirit of the Flower in French, you'll see Esprit de Flore. It's a 2011, $15, $16. It's a Malbec. In America or in some other countries, the Malbecs are a little on the sweetie side. That's not this. This, but it has enough of a fruit reference in it. That is very elegant, beautiful, beautiful wine.
Elegant,
find, Alex.
And
you want it to, you'll see on Facebook, if you like us there, what you say, who the distributor is. It is a wine bow, but you'll see it on Facebook, Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. And don't forget, we've posted the label picture there, so you don't have to worry about spelling this. Just like us, and it'll come right to you. All right, we have for you Ina Garten's Twice Baked Sweet Potatoes. This is new to my Thanksgiving this year. It is on our list. It's in our kit. But this is, we're doing this year. Last year, we made the whole Thanksgiving at our house, my family, they're on the Cape, and I arrived early, and we made every single thing. We did a lot, most of it ahead, and that's the genius thing about this. These potatoes, you can assemble these, refrigerate them, the day before, and then bake them just before serving if you want. But here's how this goes. You've got a bunch of sweet potatoes that you've washed. We've got some butter, some chopped up shallots, some fresh thyme leaves or sprigs for garnish, a little salt and pepper, an egg, and Taleggio cheese. So you're baking the potatoes in the oven on a baking sheet, and you're going to slit them to allow steam to escape, and you bake the potatoes for about an hour as usual, and then you melt up some butter, and you're pulling out the soft cooked sweet potatoes, and then mixing in these beautiful things, and you are spooning that back into your sweet potatoes, and then finishing them off. And that is, and you top each one with a sprig, and in they go for an extra, half hour, and out they and because you've got this stuff in there, they puff up a little bit.
It's like a deviled egg.
It's like a souffle potato.
I'm going to say this out loud. I miss the twice baked potato. I remember having them at restaurants. They were so fancy and fun.
I mean, really, you seem so fancy having like a little souffle in your potato.
And you have
sweet
a little.
Potatoes,
everyone
skin.
Gets a little individual boat.
You can almost
on their
pipette
plate.
It in though, right?
Yeah, sure. And make it even fight. Yeah, and make it even fancier.
Seriously, if you do the little thyme sprig on the top, it looks so pretty. So, thank you once again, Ina Garten, for your brilliance in what you do. I wrote this on the website. When I interviewed her in Boston at Symphony Hall, I said to the audience, when I reach for her book, it is like reaching for happiness.
Yep.
She knows what is delicious. Yep. You know, I love to watch her show, and I think her books are so reliable. I have all of them, and they are spattered. They are well-worn. really, really work. She is something. Let's do a tip before we do the make-ahead gravy. Chris's make-ahead gravy. Alex Provence, you've got a great tip.
Yeah, make sure your refrigerator ahead of time is clean. This is like, now is a great time to start going through, eat all your leftovers, make sure that the refrigerator is sparkling clean, because you're going to want to store a lot of stuff. If you do these make-ahead recipes, you want nice, clean, sanitary refrigerators.
And you need to make sure your shelves are leveled where you want them. Like,
get rid of the old ketchup now and all that stuff.
Yeah, one of the things we do is we get a cooler and prepare lots of ice packs in the freezer.
Oh, great idea.
Then sometimes we just fill up plastic soda bottles and freeze them.
That's a good idea.
Then we get a couple of large coolers out, and we put the giant things that are in the refrigerator taking up space, the ketchups, the mustards, all that kind of stuff, and we throw those in the cooler. Mm-hmm. And we put them out in the garage.
Yeah,
exactly, if you
already.
Have a garage.
Yeah.
If not, put it in the hallway of your apartment. Yeah. Whatever you... Whatever you want to do, stick them off somewhere. And then we've got a lot of clear space. Okay. And, you know, really, really super smart people will have like six coolers out there with ice packs where they can just keep switching things back and forth. So there you go. That was a great tip, Alex. Thank you. Chris, tell us about your make-ahead gravy. Chris makes the most fabulous gravy. Again, if you like us on Facebook, this comes off to you. Go ahead, Chris.
And again, this is that whole premise of getting the stress off the day, because this one you can do the day before or even a couple days before, or even you could do now and freeze.
Ooh, great idea.
Right? And just chuck it in your freezer, because it makes
You've never said that before.
No, but it can be. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Like in a Ziploc bag or in a plastic container?
Whatever you want. It makes about 3 cups, because this is really your base. Right? So this isn't kind of make-ahead gravy, but it's also going to be the base. You're going to add your drippings from your turkey to it on Thanksgiving Day.
Okay. So even if you have frozen it ahead. So here's the thing. Yeah. We have a break to take.
Okay.
It'll be short.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say, I promise we're going to do the gravy right on the other side of this break. And this is make-ahead. As Chris said, you can make this anytime between now and Thanksgiving and freeze it and then take it out to defrost. Chris, right in the refrigerator, right?
Yeah.
So 24 hours ahead. And then you add your pan drippings to that.
Yep.
Bring it up to a boil and you are good to go. I love that. So, all right, here is a quick break. We'll be right back with Chris Brosberry's Make Ahead Gravy. You can have gravy like a chef. Stay with us.
Out of the black, skipping the track, taking it back. I make a bid for the metal. Rough rot like a cosmonaut. I got shunned for the refund. You're restless in your best dress. I'm depressed at your swank address. Living the machinery. Salt sea of the hex you be. Hell bounds around the compound. Make the word swell in the villanelle. Ah well, you got the dweller dispeller. Tremble when you disassemble. Scrawl a rough map on a fool's cap. Mr. Weinstein drinking a strike nine. That's why I compel you to swim the wishing well. Steam it like a vegetable. Green like a vegetable. Burn it like a vegetable.
Welcome to the Food Schmooze Party. I am with Chris Brosberry and Alex Provence, our senior contributor. Senior producer Lori Mack is with us, and this is a party. We have our whole Thanksgiving kit, because it is the time now, a countdown. We have the whole Thanksgiving kit posted on Facebook, Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, posted online. We have recipes like fennel spice rub for the big bird, Marion's roasted Brussels sprouts with pears and shallots. We're going to do Chris's make-ahead gravy right now, pumpkin pie with brown sugar walnut topping, green beans with brown butter and toasted pecans, butternut squash agrodolce, an Italian treatment, a bacon cranberry Brussels sprout slaw, a paleo turkey sausage vegetable stuffing, a scrumptious simple graham cracker pumpkin tart, the key lime bars, favorite pumpkin bread, the best cranberry sauce, a rustic roasted pearl onions and potatoes, Chris's make-ahead gravy and Chris's mashed potatoes.
No.
We have Ina Garten's twice-baked sweet potatoes that come out like a little souffle in the potato jacket. They are unbelievable. And we've got this new thing. We've got a cocktail. Anthony DiSerio, I call this Thanksgiving happy hour, because if you think you stress, try this. It is so delicious. Pear basil sour. How about that for your guests walking in the door? Everybody's going to think this is the best Thanksgiving ever. So we're going to tell you about that in just a minute, using pear vodka for that one. Chris, take us away on this make-ahead gravy.
Simple make-ahead gravy. So you take a sauce pot, you add in a little bit of oil, some onion, garlic, and one slice of chopped bacon. Simple, right? Raw chopped bacon. You throw it in there. You cook that. Then you're going to sprinkle in a little bit of paprika, right? Cook that for about a minute or so. Then you're going to add red wine. Pour that in. Get it up to a simmer. Reduce it till it's almost gone. And then you pour in, and this just get a good quality canned chicken broth, right? And just pour in 2 cups of that, bring that to a boil. I thicken it with a couple tablespoons of cornstarch and a couple tablespoons of cold water. You mix that together. That's what makes a slurry. And then while you're stirring the simmering broth, right, you just drizzle in the cornstarch. It thickens it. You taste it. You season it with a little salt. And then you can put in a couple nubs of butter, and then you can puree it with an immersion blender if you want it totally smooth, or you can leave it. I'd leave it with little chunks of bacon and onion and garlic.
Oh, yeah,
and
then, so would I.
So then take that, put it in your refrigerator, cool it, put
there
it in your freezer.
There was no flour in there.
No, I use cornstarch. I use cornstarch.
So do I.
So much simpler. And then you can freeze it, you can put it in your refrigerator, and then the day of, take it back out, and then you put it in a pot, bring it back up to that simmer, and then you collect your turkey drippings from your pot, from your roasting pan, and defat it and pour that in your gravy's done.
Stir it and let those flavors melt together.
And then you have more gravy than you, right? Then you have a good batch of gravy, more gravy than you'll know what to do with.
Can you refreeze that gravy if you've frozen it once?
Yeah, totally.
You can, so you've used, you know, you've
gravy's pretty tough.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Chris's gravy is so awesome. Mm.
Yeah, that little bit of bacon.
Any gizzards or giblets or whatever?
Is that gluten free?
It's totally gluten free.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. This make ahead thing. You know how we're always getting up from the middle of the table? My sister is handling the gravy.
And you're nervous.
Yeah, you're nervous,
so
but it's gravy.
So
it's so easy. Do it ahead of time. It's done.
This is a chef, a restaurant chef we're talking with here, who loves the home cook.
Yep.
This is an easy, easy gravy. Now, the expense of the wine, how cheap can the wine be for this gravy?
I don't know. I'm probably the only one that says this, and people always yell at me for it. Years ago, someone told me you should only cook with wines you would drink. I think that's the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life, because if the wine is good enough for me to drink, guess what? Go ahead. You can guess.
Yeah, but you make...
I'm going to drink it. You know what I do is I save my wine. If I have extra wine, I save it. This I learned from my mom.
Yep.
We used to have a bottle under the sink.
Yep.
And whenever there was whatever leftover wine, she dumped it in the jug.
But then it becomes vinegar.
This is the thing. You want acidity. And this is what I don't think a lot of people think about when they're adding wine to a dish. Why do you add it? For fun? You add it to add a certain amount of acidity to the dish.
So let me ask something. We might be inventing an idea here. What happens, Alex, if there's leftover wine? This is very hard to do in my house. But let's say there is leftover
hypothetically.
Wine. Can I freeze it for this situation? And would that stay fresher than if I put it in a jug under the sink?
It's only turning into vinegar if a bacteria is converting the ethanol to acetic acid. So if you freeze it in like a Ziploc bag or even in, you know, like a soda bottle or something with enough room for it to expand, it doesn't have any contact with air or no microbiological stuff's happening, so it will not turn into vinegar. That's a great idea.
Is it? Okay. I'm so glad. I've always wondered. I tried to freeze wine once to see if it would stay good. No, I tried that.
Yeah, and it's not.
It's not so great. But it would be perfect for this.
Yeah. But don't be afraid of the acidity, because we make sauces with what's called verju, which is just soured wine.
Yes.
Well, it's not quite vinegar yet. It's what was under the sink. It's soured wine.
Well, it's very.
And that makes great, great sauces.
The
only
one I wouldn't use is something that's been corked. So if you ever open up a bottle of wine and it smells musty, like the cork is actually tainted with TCA and it smells like a musty basement, dump that down the sink. Otherwise, any wine generally can be used for cooking, even if it's old and oxidized.
Yep.
We do the same thing. Underneath our sink, we have a bottle of white, a bottle of red. Mm-hmm. We always use it to just make a pan reduction.
Yeah. Quick pan sauce. It's good to have leftover wine.
Yep.
Now we come to Anthony DiSerio. He is our cocktail contributor, chief cocktail contributor here on the show. He's so good at what he does. I just love working with him. Don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The last one, what was the...
His cocktails are so good.
What was that one with the cinnamon? That was awesome.
Oh, man. I think every time he makes us a cocktail, we say this is the best one we've ever had.
Yeah. It's like having our own mixologist.
Yeah. Well, we kind of do.
This is as simple as could be. It's also an affordable cocktail. You know, sometimes the ingredients in cocktail making get so expensive, bartenders forget that we can't buy 6 bottles of liquor to make a cocktail unless you give us 30 other recipes using those ingredients. It's just not practical. So we said to Anthony, can you make us the most delicious thing possible, but don't make it $1 million? He said, oh, I'm giving you my favorite Thanksgiving cocktail. This is the one that I make and serve to people. So it is the pear basil sour. And I like that because you're heading into a very rich meal. And maybe you'll put out a few nuts or whatever it is, but or whatever you want to do. But this is a beautiful cocktail. Pear vodka, fresh lemon juice, a sugar and water, that simple syrup, and fresh basil leaves. And you, it's like three little things to do. Ice shaker, pour this in this order. Shake like crazy because we want to do something to those basil leaves that infuses this drink. And then into your cocktail glass it goes, whatever kind of glass you like. And you pass those out. I wish we could do this right now. Hey, let's talk about Linda Juca, who gave us this recipe last year. And it is so easy, it is crazy. It's a scrumptious and simple graham cracker pumpkin tart.
I love it, again. And I'm not a pumpkin pie fan, but this really turned me into one because it's not your normal pumpkin pie. She basically took a key lime pie recipe and tweaked it to make pumpkin pie or a pumpkin tart. And it's really simple. You just make your normal graham cracker crust like you were going to make.
Crush up graham crackers,
a little sugar, a little melted butter. You can do it in a bowl. You can do it in a food processor,
and
whatever.
You can use cinnamon graham crackers if you want, by the way.
Little, that's a nice little one. So it's some canned pumpkin, sweetened condensed milk, egg yolks, sour cream, and then a little pinch of cinnamon, ginger, nutmeg, salt. You sort of put that in a bowl, mix it all up. You pour it over you take your crust and you bake it, blind bake it for a little bit. Take it out, put your crust, pour that mixture in, put it in the oven, bake it, and you're done.
And you know what I'm going to say. It's on Facebook.
Yeah, but you know what? It's funny
just
because I just remembered
You'll
this.
See the link
and we were
kit.
Talking before the show started. I'm not a pumpkin pie fan at all, except when she brought that last year. I ate 2 pieces.
Chris, I am exactly the same.
Because it has, right?
I'm not a pumpkin. Yeah. I don't go for the pumpkin pie. I will head straight for the pecan pie or... Yeah, I might try an apple pie, anything. But this,
banana cream pie, I ate two pieces myself.
Yeah. It was really
seriously,
good.
Seriously, try it this year for
I'm gonna
Thanksgiving.
I'm going to try it tonight.
It's a killer recipe.
Terrified baker. Yeah. I freely admit that. And I'm pretty terrible at it. Well, this is doable.
You know
easy,
what my,
right?
So doable.
You know what my dad
goodness.
Says about key lime pie, right? It's so easy, even a chef can make it. My
dad's
patient. It's so easy, so even a chef can do it. So if it's that easy, a pastry chef says a chef can make it, that really
means... Your dad's
means,
a pastry chef.
Yeah,
right?
That means it's so easy that anyone
pastry
can make
chef,
it.
Pastry chef, by the way, pastry chef at the Culinary Institute of America. He's a CIA pastry chef, so he knows what he's doing.
Yes, and then pastry chefs don't think much of chef's ability to make pastry. good reason. With very good reason.
So let's talk a little bit about other ways to get ready in terms of thinking about how you're going to do the table. Now, some people stress and everything has to match. Other people, my sister, for instance, is very, her main focus is on the same plates and flatware come out each year. So she doesn't have to worry about that, the same glasses. But what she's thinking about is what can I do for that long centerpiece down the table? And so that's what changes each year. And sometimes there are, leaves that she scatters along the table. And other times she's got special candles in that centerpiece. So how do you think about it, Alex?
So do it ahead of time, first and foremost. And I even have like all my platters and everything that's going to go into a platter. I already have laid out with a little post-it saying, this is the mashed potatoes. This is the gravy. So this way you're spatially sort of make sure everything fits. And then, do it a week in advance.
Do you do a centerpiece?
There's so much food. on the table. It's hard to.
I also like what he said about mapping out where it's going on the table. I never thought about that, but usually you rush to the table with all the food and you're like, this. But to have it mapped out, even if it's just roughly mapped out, that, you know, we're going to put the turkey here and this there. Yeah.
Well,
there,
even so does it fit at all? Is a major question.
You know, and it's really fun. Go to tag sales now and start buying like mismatched platters. Like, you can find really fun stuff for like 50 cents. Yeah. And, you know, and you start like accumulating it and you put in, you know, in your mind, what's going to go? This is the green beans or whatever. Yeah. And this way, it's not like a mad dash, you know, while you're trying to plate everything. Find something. Yeah. It's impossible.
I go to Route 44 in Winsted where I live, and there's all these little like shops that sell, you know, they go to estate sales and stuff, and it's a great place.
Just go to tag
up.
Sales yourself, though. Yeah, so much fun.
Yeah, grab a platter, I mean, I have the most eclectic mix of dishes and.
So that's the thing.
Colors. And
if you don't have enough to actually say you have 12 people, you don't have a place setting for 12 people, then just go the other direction and mismatch everything. Chairs.
I kind of like it.
Okay, and here is, maybe this is the best tip that we can offer. Yeah. If you go in deciding that this is not going to be a perfect day, and acknowledging that that's okay. If the day surprises you, then that's terrific. But how can a whole day involving all of this be perfect? It doesn't have to be, you know, perfect is the enemy of the good. It just has to be decent. And try your best to relax. That's a tall order when you have so much going on. But just, it's not gonna be perfect. You're just gonna do your best.
And no one's getting, what you think isn't perfect, no one's even probably gonna
notice. I've made that mistake of getting upset over something being imperfect. Yeah. And your guests never notice except for you. But if you get upset, they'll notice. So may as well just.
How many times have I sat down, and not at Thanksgiving, but at a dinner table, and said, 100 times, I am so sorry. I toasted these nuts much more than I had wanted. Ideally, and I'm thinking, why? That is like, who's Debbie Downer is talking?
I've burned side dishes at big dinners that I've done, and if it's a personal thing, it's not work. I mean, I never told everyone every side dish. So you take that and if you're like me, you open a cupboard and you sort of cram it in there for later, and it's like it never happened. Okay, we were going to have Brussels sprouts, and now we're not.
I wonder if we shouldn't send out invitations to our guests.
Nobody's coming.
Time. No, saying to them, you know, please come to my imperfect Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, and then nobody's walking in there. I don't come into anyone's home thinking that it's going to be perfect. I really don't. It's such a treat to be feted at somebody's house, you know, including family. So it's such a treat. So and if you're coming in the door, that's another thing. Very quickly, if you're coming in the door with a dish, should you be bringing serving utensils to help out the person? Or
no etiquette when it comes to this stuff.
You just come in the door with your thing and say, "Let's just make do."
You come in with a half drunk
bottle. Remember last year? I still do it when I come in with the cork already out of the bottle
and a glass already in your hand.
We should explain. It's not that Chris is starting drinking.
Yeah, no.
He does that because he means for this beautiful bottle to be poured at this event. Because he's saying, look, I've got a great bottle here. I mean for you to use it. Yeah. You can also bring a gift bottle to people and say, tuck this away. Yeah. You know, that's for you later. But if you really mean for this special bottle to be be consumed right away so you get to have some of this with your lovely people, then you can do what Chris does, which is to opens it in the car, puts the cork back in, and says, it's ready to go.
In the car, you mean the parked car in the driveway.
Yeah, yeah. I made it easy for all of us.
Oh, that's a lovely statement.
No thinking involved.
That is so diplomatic.
Yeah, see, now I don't even have to go fight for that corkscrew or anything.
And people aren't saying, did he pour this from many bottles?
As they're searching around, you find the Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, in the cabinet. I hope I did that. That was a while ago.
Let me just say, if you, you're so tired of hearing me say this, I know. I just love this. So I keep saying, if you like us on Facebook right now, we'll be thrilled. Faith Middleton Food Schmooze is the address for that. Of course, we're linking there to the in-depth recipes that might not appear on Facebook. There are only so many of these we could put up there. But we link to the entire kit So you'll see all of that. Again, the wine label, we took a picture of that so you can call ahead to your wine store and not worry about pronunciation. This fabulous red that Alex brokered and found for us, and the label is beautiful, a gorgeous wine to bring to somebody's house, $15, $16 a bottle. You can, Wine Bow, you cannot miss all the information you need. Faith Middleton, Food Schmooze. Thanks to Chris Prosperi, Alex Provence, Lori Mack. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. Here's to pleasure, my friends, and remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.